we'd like to call some of His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Swami's disciples and well-wishers to come up front and share some memories of His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Swami. And while they're coming up, Yashoda will make an announcement. So Mother Indrani, Hari Chakra, Govinda, I think Vasudeva is on the altar, Ananda Rupa, Madhvacharya, Sri Chu here. So please come up front, and while they are coming up front, Mother Yashoda will make an announcement.
Actually, I'm going to give the microphone over to Radha Vijay Prabhu, who has a special presentation that she's making on behalf of all the devotees here in Gitanagari.
Hare Krishna. On behalf of the Gitanagari devotees and some other visiting devotees that have been here for a while, they were so inspired that they wanted to make a special thank you and appreciation card for His Holiness Bhakti, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. And so yesterday we inspired Kirti Das. I don't know if he's in here. But he made this wonderful card, if you can open it, for His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. And we've got as many devotees as possible that wanted to sign. They signed and wrote letters, actually, inside the card. And so they just wanted to thank you for being here and helping Bhaktivedanta Maharaj in his journey back home, back to Godhead. And they just wanted to show their appreciation somehow in words, which I don't know if it can be written in words. And also personally, I want to thank you because I've never spent this much time in the same place and time and being able to serve my Guru Maharaj as I've been here. So I want to thank Bhaktivedanta Maharaj for allowing me to be here to be able to serve my spiritual master at the same time. Thank you, Hari Bhakti.
The famous Radhanath Maharaj Ki.
Okay, we'd like to ask each devotee if you would please keep your pastime to 5 minutes if possible. 1 minute.
Huh? 1 minute?
5 minutes.
No, 5 minutes.
Shall I come up there?
No.
Hare Krishna. My name is Vasudev Das. I'm based in Nigeria, and my main services are in the academia. Until recently, I think 1999, when my Guru Maharaj, he instructed me to go to one of the big cities in Nigeria, that's Ibadan. Originally, I was in Lagos. It's been very Acolian in Lagos. Normally in those early days in the 80s we go out, and this was his commission. We go out early in the morning just after Mangarati. We do some cleaning, then we go out for Harinam. And that was on daily basis. And we'll come back in the night, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Several hours. So in 1999 he had commissioned that, you know, I go to Ibadan to be able to be the moderator of the programs there. But then when I went there, I sent him a report about, you know, programs, you know, go out for Harinam, go for book distribution and other sort of preaching. So but then he wrote back to me telling me that he said, "Dear Vasudev, the report you sent to me is very good,
But what he told me, every other devotee can do it. He said, so you go to the ivory towers and preach to the intelligent ones. Go to the universities and preach to the professors. So then, I was thinking, how am I going to start this? So because he ordered that, so I just started sending some papers. Prior to that, I used to be very much on a regular appearance on the national dailies, newspapers, and tabloids, you know, using the Vedic philosophy as a front in addressing social, economic, and political issues. So then, you know, this devotee, this professor, one of the young devotees, then he was teaching at the University of Ibadan, Prithu. So he told me that, you know what, just transfer all of your writing skills into the academia and you can excel like anything. So, the Guru Maharaj is there giving instruction, but as far as academic programs goes, whatever I'm able to do today is actually by the inspiration of Prithu Prabhu, because at that time he was there as a professor, an ecology professor. So by that, when he gave me that idea, I felt, oh, here is someone who has given an idea on how to actually satisfy the instructions or to carry out the instructions of my Guru Maharaj. So since then, we just started that program of publishing in academic journals, encyclopedic books, and presenting papers at academic conferences. In fact, that's why I'm here. I came into the country on the 17th of March just for some programs. I have 5 programs within 27 days, and had like some of them overlapping on how to jump from one to the other. So I remember before I came in, so I called him on phone, and one of the very first things was, he said, What happened to the Oxford program? I was to go to Oxford, and then it didn't. Some devotees were discouraging me that here in the U.S. I have 5 programs in less than 1 month. What do I want to go and do at Oxford just for one conference? And he was very much interested in my going to the Oxford. In fact, ideally, he wanted me to do everything. He wanted me to go to Oxford and then come here. But then sometimes I look at the energies at my disposal, and I really can't carry it because these programs are capital intensive. So then when I called him on phone, that was the first harassment. Actually for me, traditionally, if I'm not there, he may talk so much good about me, that it may like going to the room. It may like going to the room, a mortar is, and then a grinder. He puts me in the mortar, and then he starts beating. So when I called, he said, what about the Oxford program? Then I explained to him. Then the next thing is, what about the PhD program? Because he had also ordered me that I should go and run a PhD program. And so, when I came in, I mean, it's like, each time I come to him, he gives me something to do that I feel I'm not very much incapable of doing. And then it's like, you know, pushing me into a mood of ever being in prayerful situation, because I know the things he asked me to do, I can't really do it based on my own physical abilities. So one thing I realized is that he actually forced me to be prayerful, because he imposes on me things that ordinarily I won't be able to do. So in this way, he makes me to be, you know, dependent on his mercy and dependent on, you know, the Guru Parampara and Lord Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that basically is what I can share with everyone for now. So, you know, we've been with him since 1984. I've been with him since 1984, and each time he comes to Nigeria, you know, in those days he comes even twice and then stays there for six months or so, and he passes through so much of difficulties. Sometimes we have to go and open some new place, and we want to arrange some place like hotel or some place for him to stay, and he says no. If even the devotees are staying in a hole, he wants to be there with them. And I remember one of our temples in Nigeria, when we were just developing that place, the place was just full of scorpions, because it was like outside of the city. And sometimes the devotees explained to him, I mean, the nature of the place, that he says no, that where the devotees are staying,
is where he's going to stay. He will never accept any religion outside of the temple. Whatever comfort you want to give to him, he will reject it. He said, wherever you guys are staying, is where I'm going to stay. Hare Krishna.
Vasudev Prabhu was a very humble devotee. His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Swami had expressed that in the academic circle, Vasudev is probably the second most published writer in ISKCON, second to Satyaraj. And he's not that well known, but he's been offering that service for His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Swami. And he was doing it because, you know, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj asked him to do it. He didn't have the training or anything in that arena, and so he's a perfect example of being empowered by the instruction of the spiritual master. So Hari Chakra Prabhu, we'd like to you to actually speak next. And Hari Chakra Prabhu, his name is Hari Chakra, and it's most suitable for this devotee. He was known for his radio programs in Ghana, in which he would defeat all religious leaders in argument and try to help them to surrender and raise the bar of devotion even in their own arenas and appreciate Krishna consciousness. So, Hari Chakra Prabhu, can you share some pastimes of Bhaktivedanta Maharaj?
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Vatityata Swami Iti Namini Namaste Krishna Padaya Prabhupada Ashtatmani Sri Gora Karuna Shakti Bhakti Tiyata Iti Namini Hare Krishna. Actually, when we talk about Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami, if I want to speak about him, I may need about, for, I can speak for the next 3 weeks continuous, and I'll still not finish with what I have to say. The first time I met him was in 1983 when I was planning to go to the university, and he was giving class, and I attended the class, and as I asked I asked questions, he said, what do you intend to do? And I said, I want to go to the university. Then he said, come to Krishna's university, forget whatever you want to do and come to Krishna's university, come and preach for Krishna. And I was like, wait a minute. I just want to join this movement, but not to abandon everything that I'm doing. So he didn't mention it again until 2 years later, when he was giving me initiation. Then he said, I'm empowering you to preach. Take it up. So I'm going to give you a special name. Normally what we know is most of the names he gives their names according to the people's initials. But he gave me a name outside of my initial, and he told me, I'm empowering you. I'm giving you special empowerment. I never understood that statement until about 8 years later. That when I started offering radio programs, anytime before I go to the radio station, I'll just pray to him and say, Gurudev, you promised to empower me. I want to know your empowerment. And if I go to the radio station, no matter what sort of argument you bring up, you get defeated. I did it for a long time. Then one day, when he came back to Ghana, he said, Hari Chakra, when you go to your radio programs, don't defeat them. Give them mercy. And in this way, they will become your friends, and they will appreciate Krishna consciousness. And ever since I started preaching in that mood, it gave a lot of tremendous results. Actually, I have so much to tell about Gurudev. Personally, he's shown me mystic powers that I have no doubt about who he is. On several occasions, he displayed mystical powers to me. And I saw it. It's not about somebody told me. I saw it with myself. One time in Ghana, he was around. And anytime he comes to Ghana, so many devotees come around. So many. And this one time, there were so many devotees that the cooks, but the cook, the temple president at that time was Gopal Das. And he started lamenting. He said, "Prabhu, we are in problem. There are so many people and we have very little prasadam. What are we going to do?" So as we were lamenting, the information reached Bhatitetra Maharaj in his room. And he called us to his room and said, "What is happening downstairs?" So we told him what was happening. Then he said, "What did you cook for the devotees?" And we told him, normally when he comes, we have the normal Ghanaian dishes that are always cooked differently from what we give him. So he said, "Go downstairs and bring me every preparation that you've made. I want to see." So we went downstairs, took a little bit of everything and sent it to him. And when we went to him, he just tasted everything and he said, "Send it back. The prasadam will be sufficient for everybody." And amazingly, when we came down, we said, and there was remnants. So much remnants. Another time, he sent us to take his photographs from some place. And the day was a Sunday. The people don't work on Sundays. So we said, "Good day, they don't work on Sundays." He said, "But try it. Maybe they work today." So when we came downstairs, there's one other devotee, Baladev Prabhu. I was discussing with him and he said, "Prabhu, sometimes Guru can push us to do the impossible. We know these people don't work today. Why do you say we should go?" So we came to a conclusion that, okay, we will just hang around and later go up and tell him that the people did not work. The Embarado said, "Wait a minute. This is Guru Aparan. It can take us to hell. Let's go and see and find out what he's saying." So we drove the van and went straight to the place. And amazingly, when we went there, the manager of the place was just closing up. And we told him, "Sir, we have some pictures to take from here." And he asked us, "But you know we don't work on Sundays." He said, "Yes, but our Guru Maharaj said we should check out. Maybe you are around." He said, "Oh yes, since morning I've been here to work on some papers. And I'm just about to leave." So he just went back into the room, picked up the pictures, and gave it to us. And Baladev said, "Hey, this act would have definitely taken us to hell." And ever since, I never made up my mind to ever, ever try that trick again. So Gurudev is such a personality that sometimes, he's so humble that sometimes after he's done a TV program and in the evening when I'm giving him massage, he will ask me, "Arichaka, did I speak well? What do you think I should have said?" Good <day. laughs> Everything he said was perfect. So he's so humble that sometimes he makes you feel as if you know more than he does. And all these things put together let me feel that Gurudev was, he's such an extraordinary personality that you can never, ever imagine who he is. And as to his loving, he's so loving that sometimes he shows love to you and you tend to think, is it actually real? Just as we came here, and my wife was admitted at the hospital in an emergency to be operated on. Before we left, I went to him. I said, "Gurudev, this is what is happening. we have to go to the emergency ward. He said, okay, go with my blessing. But whatever happens, let me know. I want to know every single step at the hospital. So when I went to Heshe, I called him. It was around 11 p.m. And I said, good day. They said they're going to have a cesarean session on it. He said, okay, Krishna is with her. And I'm with her too. Keep me informed. So at 12 midnight, I called him. Good day. They're not taking her to the theater. He said, I'm waiting for you. That's why I always pick the phone. I'm with you. When everything is done, let me know. And they finished everything around 3 a.m. I called. Good day. Yes, Harichakra. I already know the results. I know she's gone through successfully. And Krishna has blessed her with a wonderful baby girl. Wow! I didn't know who it is. Actually, I didn't ask him on the phone. But I was thinking, how did you know? So, personally, the sort of message Gurudev has displayed in my presence has given me no doubt about the sort of person he is. And anytime he displays such mystical this thing, he will do it in such a way, he normally does it in a way that he doesn't, as if he doesn't want you to know. But if you study it closely, you will know. One this last instance, one time, one devotee called Pandu Das was giving class in the temple room. And that temple that we used to, that temple we had at that time, it was a story building. The temple room was downstairs, and his ashram was on the other far corner. And there's no way that anybody who is speaking in that temple room, you could hear in his ashram. But Pandu gave the class, and he told Pandu that after the class, he will come down to answer the questions. So when Pandu finished giving the class, he came down. And immediately he sat on the ashram. He said, yes, any questions? And anybody who asks a question, immediately you finish with your question. When he begins to answer, he said, like Pandu said. And he will quote exactly what Pandu said. And answer your question from that angle. Then everybody was looking at each other and said, wow! this man is very mystical. You know, so I am completely convinced about who Shri Krishna Pad is. Actually, even though I took personal care about his body when he passed away, but I've not been able to absorb. I've not been able to accept that he's no more. It's still like a dream to me. So sometimes when the impact starts hitting me, like I don't know how to express it. But I've still not been convinced that he's not with us anymore. Actually, I have so many to say about Gurudev. If I say I will go on and on and on. But I can assure each and every person here that I personally can testify that our Guru Maharaj was actually a special personality sent to us to help us in all our spiritual endeavors. I'm completely convinced about that. Hare Krishna.
Next devotee is Govinda Prabhu. I remember when Govinda came to see Bhaktivedanta Maharaj a few weeks ago, and Maharaj was just expressing his appreciation to Govinda, just saying that Govinda joined at such an early age, and he dedicated himself so much to making sure that the temple in Ghana survived. He would do whatever was necessary, especially in raising Lakshmi, and you know, he was just praising him so much. And so he really appreciated your service to him, and we thank you also. So Govinda Prabhu is next, and then also Preetu Prabhu. Preetu is very humble. He's actually, he was in the second or third set of devotees that were initiated in Nigeria. Was it the second set, Prabhu? First set. Okay. Excuse me. Okay. Third set. Okay. All right. So we ask Govinda and then preach to Prabhu.
Om Nagyanata Vedandasya Jnana Jana Salatsa Chakshu Omirtavina Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha.
Hare Krishna.
Actually, my experience with my spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Maharaj, it is something very, very personal that sometimes I try to also expose a little of my experiences with my Guru Maharaj. Before I became an aspiring devotee of Krishna, I was an aspirant of a society known as Divine Light Mission or Guru Maharaj. And so I was an aspirant devotee there, and when it was a time for me to take my initiation, and I was told that my spiritual master is going to a particular place in Ghana, that is from where I was to west. I was in east, but he was going to west. And so it was announced that the aspiring devotees can chase their spiritual master there. And I was the only aspiring disciple there who was able to chase their spiritual master. But fortunately or unfortunately for me, I was unable to find my spiritual master in Guru Maharaj society. I tried to find where the temple of Guru Maharaj is from different places. I entered from temple to temples, asking where I can find these people. So finally I end up in one high school called Fijai, and the students told me, well, we don't know about Divine Light Mission, but we know about Divine Grace. And Divine Grace is just at the corner. If you don't mind, we can give you address to Divine Grace Temple. And I said, well, I'm looking for Divine Light, so if you know Divine Grace, let me go there. They will be able to show me where the Divine Light is. And so I collected the address and proceeded on to Divine Grace Temple. And as I was approaching the temple, I mean, the temple surroundings were so special. This temple was situated on a hill, and the place is called a Windy Ridge. The temple was painted very nicely white, and flowers around the temple were so auspicious. And I saw the picture of Kirtananda Swami Maharaj on top of the temple, very bold. I looked at him and said, yes. I said to myself, this is the place I'm coming. And so I entered the temple, and the incense, the scent of the incense and the devotees around, and I looked at the pictures in the temple room. I said, oh, this is very nice. This is where I belong to. So I already convinced myself that I belong to this place. And you know, where I was living before travel to west, not knowing there is Hare Krishna temple 10 minutes away from where I was living, and I did not see it. I did not meet devotee. And so I traveled all the way from east to west. And then finally, I saw the temple president there, and he asked me about my mission. And so, well, I'm aspiring devotee of Divine Light Mission, and I learned my spiritual master is coming, so I'm coming to meet him. And he said, well, but here is divine grace. But our spiritual master is also coming in 3 months. If you wouldn't mind, you can wait for him. And I said, well, yes, I would like to wait for him. But all this time, you know, I was living in my house. My father was a soldier by then. And so I was living in a barracks. And so I'll go to house, and I was told, you know, the programs in the morning. And so at 2 o'clock, I'll wake up, take my bath, take taxi, and rush to temple and attend Mangarati. So I was doing that for about 2 weeks, and I decided to stay in the temple. I asked whether they would allow me to stay there. And they said, yes, of course, if you want. And so I was there for a week, almost 2 weeks, and I asked the temple president, when are you going to shave me? I can see everyone here is shaved. And he said, you want to shave? I said, yes. And so they shaved me one Sunday, and I was so ecstatic, so happy. They gave me a beard and beard bag, everything. I was so happy. And so 3 months later, we were asked to go to Accra because the spiritual master is coming. So I was very happy that now I'm going to see the spiritual master. But I was already educated about the position of the spiritual master. That spiritual master is such a special person that just by seeing him, one life is successful. And so, we should not take spiritual masters for granted. That you see spiritual master and you think he's an ordinary person. He's not an ordinary person. I had that knowledge from Divine Light Mission. And so I was very happy that I was going to meet a spiritual master. And in Ghana, whenever the gurus are coming, the devotees will go to airport, meet him, and bring him home with kirtan. And so we all went there. A number of devotees went to the airport, and we saw Kirtananda Maharaj, Srila Krishnapad. By then he was called Srila Krishnapad, with his danda, and Rohini Prabhu. 3 of them were coming. And something very amazing happened there at the airport. When the devotees saw the spiritual masters coming, we all bowed down. And the people in the airport did not know what was going on. They also bowed down. Everyone there at the airport bowed down. And so we brought our Guru Maharaj home to the temple, and the whole temple room was full, no place to put 1 foot. And so there was a lecture, very short lecture by Kirtananda Swami Maharaj. And the following morning was the Bhagavatam class, and Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj was giving Bhagavatam class. Before I became a member of Divine Light Mission, I was also with a group, one Christian group, and the pastor there gave me a very special prayer to be recited every day, and I was doing it as my daily meditation. And so wherever I go, wherever I went, I was carrying my meditation with me. And so when I was told about the mantra, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, I was not praying with it at all. I was always reciting the mantra, even without a beat. And so as Guru Maharaj was giving the lectures, at a point he stopped the lecture and said, there is someone here among you who is coming from Divine Light Mission. And the person is now chanting. He is chanting and still chanting. And all this time, I was chanting this mantra in my mind. And he was telling the audience, somebody is chanting and he's coming from Divine Light Mission. So I asked myself, how did this man know me? And so after the Bhagavatam class, I was a Sankirtan devotee also. I do, you know, a lot of book distribution. And so when I was coming from this place called Takoradi, I was carrying my Sankirtan books. And so I was sitting down somewhere at the corner and I was thinking, should I go to Sankirtan for Accra Temple or Takoradi Temple? And that time I did not know that Guru is not a person you can just wake up and go to him. And so I went to Gurudev and asked him where I should go to Sankirtan for. Which temple? Accra or Takoradi? And so after I finished paying my obeisances to him, I did not open my mouth. And he told me, go and do Sankirtan for Accra temple. So I quietly turned back. I said, oh, this is the second experience. How did he know? And me and my wife, we found actually difficulty in bringing forth a child. And so, I remember once Gurudev came to Ghana and we went to him. And we told him our calamity. And Gurudev says, why worry? Krishna is given to even Kamis, to those who don't even call upon him. And you, their devotees, go, Krishna will do it. And so when he came back again, my wife was already pregnant. And Guru Maharaj did not know. And so when he was giving Brahmanika initiation, he said, now, you know, he says many things about me. And said, now his wife is pregnant, and that, and many things he said about this kid coming. He said, oh, how did he know? Anyway, my time is very short. I have a lot to say about Guru Maharaj, his kirtans, his haranams in Ghana. Sometimes you jump and dance on the buses. You won't believe it. You walk, chanting a crowd, you jump on some trucks, old trucks and dance. You jump on urban bus and dance. And many things can be said about him. All what I can say is that Krishna has actually blessed us to give us pure devotees to be connected with. And one of such powerful saints, powerful masters, who have descended on this planet to help read the living entities, the fallen souls, to once again reconnect our loving relationship with Krishna. One of such personality is Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj. So, and so we are blessed, but we should also do our part. We should try as much as we can, and to do the best as we can, because His mercy is unlimited. Once we are able to please Him very little way, He's going to connect us with Krishna. Like He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going, but I'm going to invite all of you to come. And it's going to happen. It will come to pass. We need to tighten our belts and continue to chant. Hare Krishna.
Shri Gurudev ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Vaishnava Sampradaya ki. Okay, I'll try. Well, I think, I really don't know where to start, but I could just say that I hold gratitude to every one of you, and most especially to my, you know, senior God brothers and sisters, some of them here today and back in Africa. When I first met Krishna consciousness, I was just barely making 17 years old. And I had to adjust my age a little bit to be able to go to the university I went, because if you're 17, you can't be admitted. So I can't go in with my birth certificate. Somehow I have to do something to get in there. So, right in front of my campus is a big banner. You just read, Hare Krishna temple. And so this is the time when I just left high school and I have all the freedom that a young person is imagined to have. So I was also experimenting with what young people experiment with. You know, I won't want to talk about those. So, but, and then of course I saw Hare Krishna temple. So I was thinking it's another yoga center. Maybe, okay, I'll go show them how to do Hatha yoga someday. I was thinking. So the first weekend I went, it was the Monday morning actually, and I saw everyone seated on the floor, shaving headed, and they were beating this funny drum. I never seen anything like it before. And after the class was over, I saw this young guy with glasses. Actually, this is Bharat Prabhu. Maybe some of you might be encountering him on the BT Swami list. And I felt, well, I don't want to speak to somebody about my age. I want to speak to the president here, not some small guy. So because the ego was there anyway. Eventually, I ended up speaking with Bharat Prabhu because he was the temple president. And he encouraged me to keep coming. And I like everything because hearing the Hare Krishna alone, that kind of, it provides, I mean, so I have some feelings in me somehow. But basically what I noticed about the whole setting is what? Everyone around, whether in Lagos Temple, Ibadan Temple, Kaduna, they have so many branches around the country. And they were all young people between the age of 15 and maybe 23, 25, at most 25. Vasudev Prabhu was heading Lagos Temple then. Bhaktivedanta Damodara Swami was there as Parikshit Prabhu, as we all know him then. And so many other Prabhus. But they were all young people. And they were so determined. And I was so impressed by their dedication and the way they carried the spiritual master. It's like, they've seen God. So, I tried to see the spiritual master in the way they see him. Because I felt I was going to learn a lot from them. So basically, my relationship with Gurudev is through my senior God brothers and sisters. I never had a chance to get close. Actually, in Nigeria, you don't get close to Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj because he's senior men, you know. Vasudev Prabhu is here. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj is there. All of them, they surround him in a way that it's kind of like a closed network. You have to fill a form, you know. They have to ask you, what are you going there to tell him? You know, they have to know why you're going to see him. You just don't go there and disturb the spiritual master. You know, it's not everyone that have access to him. But he wants to have, but still, they still allow people to see him anyway, but it's not really like, you know, you take all his time and, you know, just clog him up. But one thing I noticed is Maharaj is always very open to everyone, just as you all have known. And these young people, they kept preaching. They do Harinam, they open centers, and they are relentless in what they can do. Everybody goes out on Sankirtan, and then sometimes even from the university, I say, well, maybe it will be worth a try to go out and distribute books. It's really difficult, but I try because I see senior God brothers doing it, and the experience is enormous. And up till now, book distribution is, every morning they have to announce Sankirtan results, you know, to the glory of our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Krishnapada, we hereby announce this morning Sankirtan report for June, something, something, and they will announce. So whoever goes out cannot distribute a single book, you can't bring back Lakshmi to maintain the temple, you'll be so ashamed of yourself. So this is a culture, and it is still maintained up to now. Every day, they announce their Sankirtan report. Very impressive. Well, I would say I owe a lot to my senior God brothers and sisters, because it's by their mercy that I was able to sit down here. Vasudev Prabhu was saying, I encourage him to publish in academic journals. But the sacrifices they made to bring some of us to Krishna consciousness is enormous. At a very young age, why some of us were dragging our feet and we hang out on university colleges and campuses. They still encourage, keep studying, but don't give up your rounds, don't give up the principles. And like that, we went on. Even when I never expected I was going to get a job with the university, but when it came, I was surprised too. And I have a Mayavadi group I used to visit. They have a lot of respect for my spiritual master. And because they were very helpful to us and they are very senior professors, I have to maintain the relationship. And when I told them, well, the registrar of the university sent a mail to me after my master's degree and I'll be there as an assistant lecturer and this and that. And so they gave me a whole lot of advice and they were very happy that somebody spiritual also is in the campus. And that went on. But basically, my relationship with my Guru Maharaj is through my God brothers and God sisters, like I kept saying. and the sacrifices you are making. I owe so much to Guru Maharaj, and I owe so much to my God brothers and sisters in how much they are sacrificing on the battlefield of Africa. And if you all remember, recently even some of them went as far as preaching in very dangerous locations where there are wars, and they won't give up. And that is the nature of our spiritual master. He goes to, they just take that from our Guru Maharaj, to preach in places that is really, really difficult. And they keep saying there are millions of people you can reach, and we have an obligation to reach out to people. And this makes me more and more indebted in some ways to them. I don't want to hold you up for too long, but it would be worthwhile to actually speak a little bit about some of the preaching program. Some of my Vasudev Prabhu, for instance. One time, when Lagos Temple was having problem, just 1 minute and I'll be done. Lagos Temple was being ejected from where they were, and they had to look for a place, and then they got a 3-bedroom apartment, and they started their ketan. And it was so difficult because it's a residential area. You can't make noise, you can't be the character real loud. And then they were looking for land on the outskirts. And then they took Guru Maharaj somewhere. And then when he came back, he called Vasudev Prabhu and told him, I want a temple here in this estate. The estate is a place inhabited by millionaires by Nigerian standards. Practically, you don't find a land in that kind of a highly developed location. But he said he wants a land in that place. So it turned out that Brahmachari started going out and coming back at 12 midnight, all in the effort to raise funds, all in the effort to find land, all in the effort to see that preaching goes on. And by the mercy of Guru Maharaj, they were able to find the land, and they started a big temple by the mercy of Vasudev Prabhu. So Vasudev Prabhu... he is giving credit to God brothers, but he has sacrificed so much. When the war claimed so many devotees, Mother Ladini and the rest of them in Liberia, Vasudev Prabhu was the only person Gurudev could nominate to go and investigate what was going on there. Because Gurudev was so much in anxiety, he wanted to know what had really happened to his devotees. And Vasudev Prabhu went all the way to a battlefield where the war is still going on, and you can hear gunshots and everything. And he got all the information and came back to tell Guru Maharaj about the sad news of what has happened. So basically, these young men and women, they are still out there struggling, they are still doing their part, even though Guru Maharaj faced so much difficulty in that part of the world. Not only from that part of the world, even from this part of the world also. But he didn't give up, and his devotees also didn't give up with him, and they keep struggling. But now has come a time that I felt we all have an obligation. We have to keep questioning ourselves and asking ourselves more and more, how can we be more accessible to one another in order to be able to carry on with our Guru's mission? This becomes a big question in my mind that I want to ask myself from time to time, so that I can see how I can be more of an instrument in fulfilling all of your desires and in fulfilling our Guru Maharaj's desire. Hare Krishna.
We'll hear from Ananda Rupa, Madanjani, and Madhvacharya next. And there are two devotees that actually snuck out of this first group, and that was Yashoda and Rajalila. But Rajalila is back in the back now. So Mother Ananda Rupa, she's a bundle of realizations. Madanjani is a bundle of enthusiasm. And Madhvacharya has so many wonderful qualities, most notably his humility. So please, we'll hear from these devotees.
Excuse me, Mother Ananda, I'd like to offer a service for the devotees. Because there's so many Bhakti Chitta Maharaj disciples who'd like to share, and it's hard to kind of gauge time when you're sharing, I'm going to be your official timekeeper, and I'm going to kind of do this when it's about 4 minutes, and then I'll let you know to kind of tie it up so we can have everyone be able to have a chance. Hari Bol.
Okay. Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Shri Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Now this is going to be short because it shows you how dull I was for quite a few years, even though I was the wrong Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj. Like one day, we had done some cooking and we had some program there, and so, you know, you have to clean up, serve Gurudev, and serve the devotees, and I think it was a weekday, it might have been a Wednesday. And somebody had made something very nice, and I was really a big eater in those days. So when I came back, like that particular dish that was made was gone. I was so upset. So to show you how much knowledge I had, I ran upstairs to Guru. I had just taken his plate up there. So I ran up there and I said, Gurudev, I didn't get any of this. They ate it all. And I was just wondering if I can get some off of your plate. You know, he was just sitting back like this. You know, he got that kind of deep look. And he said, sure, go ahead. I mean, I went in the plate and took it out. So that was one bit of nonsense there. And then the next one was he and Brajalila had this relationship. She used to do so many wonderful things, but every once in a blue moon she might bloop, and he would really take her down. And she would cry, you know. And I was saying, how loving is this? You know, I mean, he hits her down, she comes up, does good, he praises her. I mean, they go back and forth. So here I run up to him again. I said, Guru Maharaj, you all have such a wonderful relationship. I think you handled me with kid gloves. Look at, you know, I mean, I think you need to get a little more intense with me, you know. He said, oh, really? Oh, really? So one day I was coming into class, I can't even remember what day it was. The way he hit me so fast, I can't remember the day. But I stepped into the temple and he says, and you, Anandarupa, are very unchaste. After that, I started feeling nausea. I mean, I felt nauseated. I was starting to like drip. I said, Guru, I said, God, please don't let me pass out. After that, I didn't hear the rest of it. I hope I can find the tape to hear what he said. The next one was, I was supposed to bring two boxes of his books to India in 97 or 96. And I did so many foolish things that they packed the same day we had to travel to India. The car broke down. I was wild. But I got there. I said, well, we can't carry two boxes. We can only take one. And so I wasn't smart enough at the time to think, well, you know, it's Guru. Let me leave my stuff and take his stuff. So I said, well, we're leaving this box. And we got there, and his books sold like anything. He said, Nandarupa, where's the other box? I said, well, Guru, the car broke down, and I couldn't bring it. And he just stopped and looked at me like that. I never forget, his eyes was just like clear pool. I mean, he says, Anandarupa, you're nothing but a nonsense. I got that sickness again, you know, like, really? I mean, I really felt sick because if you ask them, I was eating every day. I was going to take out all these different places in Mayapur. You can eat right in the grounds, in the Mayapur ground, temple grounds, eat, shop. After he said that, you know, I was just ready to go home. I had lost all my energy. And then he sends Brajalita to say, tell Anandarupa if Idella wants to go home, my daughter, she can go, but she must stay. I know if you pick that up. And then he sent $200 by Vajalila for me to borrow because I was low. So that's how foolish I was.
I hadn't heard that one. All glories to the assembled devotees. 4 minutes, huh? 5 minutes. One thing, I don't know where to start. I feel so grateful, thankful. And I also, after hearing the past few days the glorification of Gurudev, I feel, I don't know, small. I feel, I don't know if humble is the word, but I even heard worthless, good for nothing. it's like I thought I knew I had an extraordinary spiritual master. I used to tell the devotees all the time, he's extraordinary, he's special. But being reminded and hearing, it's like, my God, I really didn't know who I had. And yet, he treated me so kindly, so sweetly. Krishna was merciful to bring me to him at 64 years old before I completely burned out in the material world. And that was after a cry to Krishna that I really want, I didn't know, saying, Krishna, but God, I really want to know you. Many of you know my story of traveling to Uganda, spending a year in a spiritual community and not feeling nourished. So when I came back, I was 64, going on 65. What do I do with the rest of my life? I only want to know God. And one day I was on campus at Howard and I found a flyer and all I saw was spiritual. And I said, okay, God, you... So the story, I'm 4 minutes, I can't go too far. So, it's time to stop. Maybe Krishna is saying, say what you got to say and hand over the mic. Okay, God. It's wonderful that I'm learning to trust and understand. Krishna has said, please move me out of here to Florida. And I really feel that that's the battlefield, that I'm to do my spiritual warriorship for my guru. And I'm more encouraged now after hearing and being reminded of him and his mercy. But I want to tell one quick story of how he comes to help devotees. I was living with my daughter, and Ananda was a part of this story. I woke up one morning and saw spots in front of my eyes and knew something was wrong in the house, and I heard my daughter scream out, Mommy, Mommy, something's wrong. And Ananda spent the night at the house, and her and her daughter were sleeping in the basement. And I started screaming for her, and I started down the stairs. And I remember I stopped on the second level, opened the door, and I'm still screaming, Ananda, Ananda, and she wouldn't answer. When I got down to the bottom floor, I saw Ananda laid up against the washing machine, and her daughter, Ideli, and I'm saying, Ideli, and she's looking up at me, her eyes roll back, and I'm saying, something is wrong in the house. I picked up the phone, and I dialed 911, and apparently gave them the information of what was going on, and hung up the phone and started to open the front door, went back, dialed the phone, and I dialed the Institute house of who answered the phone was Swami Krishnapad. And apparently I told him the whole story because he told me, lady, you were very clear. I woke up, something's wrong, and I'm the rupee, say I dialed 911 or whatever. But I made connection. I hung up the phone, I opened the door, and I started screaming out the door, because help, help, somebody help, because, you know. Anyway, long story, the ambulance came, it took us out to the hospital, and I'm in, apparently, emergency room, and I'm laying there, and coming in, everybody's saying, you saved lives by calling 911, because what had happened, the carbon monoxide, the furnace had a leak. As I open my eyes, and I look, who's coming towards me? Swami Krishnapad in the emergency room with a smile on his face. And it's like, Swami Krishnapad. He says, you're a hero. You're a hero. You saved lives. And this was, what, 2 o'clock in the morning. And there he was, standing there, cheering me on and waking me up out of this thing. And Ananda Rupa, I think he went to her room later. But this is how attentive, how caring. And other stories, but time's up. I don't want to. But what I'm saying, one quick thing of what's going on now with my mind and my consciousness, because what I realize, trying to realize, understand that his physical is not here, is changing, because for weeks we were all attention up at the Institute house. I said to one devotee, what do you do at 5 o'clock in the day? Because at 5 o'clock, he went up every day. What do I do at 2 o'clock in the day? I went up and chanted. But I had to start chanting more. And one going away, I remember when we first used to be at the Institute, Swami Krishnapad would go to Africa every 6 months. I'm going to talk faster. And the first 6 months that he went away, we all went to the airport with him. And this was new to us, really. And while we were at the airport, when it was time for him to get on the plane, he hugged all the men and he gave all the women flowers. And that was when he gave me a rose and said, you know, you're the mother of the Institute. And we all walked away. And he was crying. But I suddenly felt an energy. I said to them, okay, he's gone, but now we got to do the work we promised him. Because we had had a meeting and we had all promised him to do things. So I felt so energized and was ready for us to do the project. And that's how I'm feeling now. I feel energized. I feel excited that... that we can go on the battlefield. And a half a minute more, he said to me 2 days before he left, and he looked at me and he said, it's not the proper time for you to leave. I said, it's not the proper time to leave. He said, no. I said, all right, I'll be patient. So in my patience, until I'm time to go, and he said, you'll be ready for it and help me get there, I'm going to try and serve on the battlefield and spread and do whatever I can. I thank you all.